pleased to have 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins in studio with us today. Brad's going to put a bow on the legislative sessions, which just adjourned late last week. A few things that happened, obviously. One of his primary pieces of legislation getting passed, SB 5868. And a few things that didn't get done. We may get a chance to touch on those, but definitely want to touch more on the positive stuff for sure. And Brad, always good to see you. It's good to see you again.
Good morning, Chris. Great to be in studio. Thanks for having me. It was great to connect with you throughout the session.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, overall, I mean, letter grade for the session. I hate to do it this way, but A, B, B plus. I mean, it seemed like a few things got done. Obviously, I mentioned your pieces of legislation got pushed through. You were happy about that. But also a few things that didn't get addressed, really. Police reform in large part did not get addressed, and emergency powers for the governor, no reforms there. So a few things left undone, it would seem. But overall, how'd you feel?
Overall, I guess I'd give it a B. I mean, there were that. I guess that's on a roll. We did accomplish good things for our district. Some of the proposals were bipartisan. The two of the three budgets, the transportation budget and the capital budget, were both largely bipartisan. The operating budget, however, was pretty excessive. It set a record in terms of state spending at $64 billion over the two-year period, which if you look back at the budget when I came into office, this is my 10th legislative session, but the budget at that time was $33 billion, and now the legislature just approved 10 years later a $64 billion operating budget. So I had concerns about the operating budget, but like you said, some of my individual piece of legislation advanced and some of my other district priorities, but then some of the larger statewide priorities, like some of the police reforms and emergency powers, did not. So but that's the way it goes. You know, you kind of have to take the good with the bad, and there's always things you like and things you don't like, and that's just how it rolls.
Yeah, for sure. No session is going to be perfect. I don't think in anybody's mind, no matter how much of their way, I guess, they get, or how much partisanship is actually seen, I guess, in a session. As far as that's concerned, did you feel like the two chambers and the Democrats and Republicans worked pretty well together this session to get a few things accomplished? Or?
I did. You know, I like I said, a couple of the budgets were bipartisan, but other things weren't. You know, we were shut out as Senate Republicans and House Republicans from negotiations within the operating budget. The transportation investment package, which is a new $16.9 billion 16-year transportation package. The Republicans in both chambers of the House and the Senate were largely shut out of that. I did engage, and we were successful in getting some projects included. But for the large part, I mean, that was mostly a Democratic set of priorities. But like I said, I mean, that Move Ahead Washington Transportation Investment Package is moving ahead with or without you. And, you know, we had to get engaged with that. Otherwise, some of these projects in our area may never get completed, because this is a 16-year package of projects. And the last major statewide transportation investment package was approved by the legislature in 2015. And so here we are 7 or 8 years later. It could be another 7 or 8 years before the next one gets approved. And so sometimes, you know, you're going into the legislative session, you know, based on my experience, you never know exactly what's going to happen. So you have to be proactive with some things. You have to be reactive with some things. And you got to be able to engage if you see an opportunity. And that was something we saw coming through the pipeline. And like I said, if you don't act on it and get engaged and do try to advocate for your district, you may not get another opportunity for some of these things for several years.
Yeah. We talked with your counterparts in the House, Keith Gaynor, Mike Steele, about the transportation package late last week when we wrapped up the sessions from the House side with them. And just sort of alluding to my headline as far as what they told us about on Friday that I wrote for Coho, a new $17 billion state transpo package includes funding for Confluence Parkway project, sort of. And the sort of is that apparently, according to Keith, there's a line item in there that actually discusses that it's an infogrant. It actually basically says it's an infogrant. It's the only one of its kind in the state. So it would seem obvious that that's what it's been prescribed for, but there is no actual mention of Confluence Parkway. So, I mean, from your perspective, is there money in this transportation budget for Confluence, or do you think we're going to get shut out eventually?
No, it is a placeholder for Confluence. I think the transportation chairs of both the House and the Senate were sensitive to include another line item of a project for a package that was largely already fully negotiated and introduced in mostly a Democratic package of projects. And so it was listed in the item as an infra grant match of $85 million. It happens to coincide exactly with the $85 million that will be needed to complete the unfunded portion of the Confluence Parkway project. As a reminder, the Confluence Parkway project is a $134 million project, but the city of Wenatchee has already received $49 million of this infra grant, which stands for the Infrastructure for Rebuilding America grant. And so, you know, basically though, that $85 million is a placeholder for the Confluence Parkway, matching dollars to complete that project. But there's still some unfinished business and planning and permitting and local government signing off on the Confluence Parkway. But again, since it was a 16-year package, if you don't get something included into that, when the time comes to actually fund the project, you know, you may not be able to do that. Now, with the Confluence Parkway project, I anticipate that the actual funding for that project, the $85 million, would actually materialize in probably the 2025 to 2027 transportation budget. And so it's an interesting process in the legislature. It took me several years to kind of figure out how these long-term occasional transportation investment packages are intertwined with the two-year transportation budgets. And really, the legislature only really has the authority to appropriate and expend dollars within its two-year budgets. But these long-term packages sort of schedule out in place what will be coming in future years. And basically, for the next eight biennium, or the next eight budget cycles, we have transportation plans for those investments based on this Move Ahead Washington package.
Yeah. So we can drop the ticker tape in celebration of the money being reserved, but no golden shovel for several years, it sounds like. So.
Right. Probably the 2025 to 2027 biennial transportation budget. And the reality is, These transportation investment packages, the last one was approved in 2015. They're always sort of a leap of faith because you're approving these sort of this long-term transportation plan, but then the funding may or may not actually materialize until the two-year budgets. They usually do. I mean, it's always the case. But for example, for the Wenatchee Valley community, one of the projects that was identified and still planned that was approved in the 2015 transportation package is the widening of Sunset Highway in East Wenatchee and Douglas County. And that, as we know, it has not been constructed yet. And so that's kind of part of the challenge. But as the longer the plan, the more susceptible the projects are to actually getting bumped out or potentially losing funding. But the state is usually very has a long and proud history of kind of adhering to the transportation funding plans that have been approved, both, you know, the current one and then for prior packages.
All right. Well, we'll see how this one goes. Again, 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us in studio today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad, let's talk about what I would imagine is undoubtedly your biggest victory of the sessions, which was SB 5868, the housing bill, which is going to help out the Upper Valley and places like it, in particular here in North Central Washington. So Give us a review of this again.
I'm very pleased. I'm very grateful for all the local stakeholders that participated in that, the city of Leavenworth, Chelan Valley Housing Trust, the Wenatchee Valley Chamber, Confluence Health, Cascade Medical Center, and the Hospitality Association. I probably can't list everybody, but we really worked hard on that. Housing affordability is a huge, huge issue all across the state. But in particular, places like Leavenworth, Lake Chelan, the Metow Valley, they've been really struggling, even the Wenatchee Valley. And this is one of the first bills, really, that identifies a potential funding stream to local governments for workforce housing. Most of the state programs are designed to lift people out of homelessness for very, very low income housing projects. But that's not exactly the challenges that we have in our community, given our unique needs. So this particular bill will actually benefit many local governments beyond just our area. It will actually benefit 30 of 39 rural counties in the state of Washington, which, you know, it's much more than just something for our area, but we had a lot of local support and they definitely helped me get it across the finish line. So it's to the governor at this point. And the good thing about this particular bill, and this is kind of the needle I was trying to thread, is that it doesn't add a new tax for housing. I mean, that is definitely something that legislators have attempted. It's usually met with huge resistance. And then when you look at, well, what are the existing revenue streams going back to local governments, cities and counties? Can you add housing infrastructure as a permissible expenditure within those funds? And sometimes that's difficult too, because there's always some people who already have access to those funds that have a little bit of a turf battle. But in this case, you know, I was pleased that for the most part, we were able to secure the support to get this done. And it provides counties more flexibility in how they can address their needs within their existing revenue streams, and it doesn't create a new tax to do it.
Well, that's definitely good news, and we're looking forward to seeing how well this gets implemented as time wears on here. Real quickly, Brad, we don't have to touch on, you know, the things that didn't get done. We know about those. They'll get addressed in future sessions. We'll just kind of stay on the positive, but I am wondering about the veto pen this year from Governor Inslee. Are you expecting that to be quite active once again? Or
boy, it's been active in the past. In fact, the legislature has had this ongoing issue and conversation with the governor's office about checks and balances. And the legislature, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats have actually sued the governor's office to preserve it, the legislative authority, and that the governor had been kind of overusing his veto. It remains to be seen, but that's part of the process, is that in order for any bill or budget to pass, it needs to pass in both chambers in its identical form and be signed into law by the governor. And between the time that the legislature approves the bills and the budgets and the time the governor actually signs them as our executive, the governor's office, they're reviewing all this information. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things I did when my workforce housing bill successfully passed the legislature is I reached out to my folks at the governor's office to kind of explain the bill, because that's a step that some lawmakers unfortunately forget, but they do so at their peril, because Governor Inslee has been pretty proactive with using his veto pen when he doesn't support something.
Yeah, and we still don't know if he actually has a pen that like says veto on it or not, but we're waiting. So
I know when he signs the bills into law, those actually are pens. And you know, I've been fortunate enough to get several over my legislative career, but I usually give those away. But I think the veto messages actually come electronically. But at one time they were pens.
At one time, right. Almost sounds like a mob thing. You know, that's veto's pen, you know, leave it alone. So
don't go against the veto.
that wasn't Governor Inslee, his impression of Governor Inslee, but it was close. It was close. So 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins with us today here on the Coho Morning Show. Brad, good to see you. Appreciate your time throughout the sessions. And I know we're going back to a monthly schedule with you now throughout the non-sessions, but we'll look forward to seeing you again next month and kind of get starting with that and just checking on things from the Senate side here as the 2022 calendar rolls along. So again, thanks a lot. Stay well.
Thanks so much, Chris. Yeah, you too. Appreciate it.